Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you.
You don't tell me, just think about it. So whenever I ask it.
Great.
Okie dokie, ready?
Sure am.
Hey, everybody, it's Winter with the Shift Spotlight, and today we're here with Michelle Meyer. She is the founder and CEO of Pink Collars. As you can see, there's a lot of pink in the background there, and she can be found at pinkcollars.com. So welcome to the show, Michelle.
Hey there. Thank you so much for having me, Winter. I'm super excited to be here.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, before we get started, if you could wake up tomorrow with any superpower, business aside, what would you pick and how would you use it?
Superpower business aside. Oh, that one's hard. Oh, I would be able to be a competitive chef. I love a cooking show. I think that those people that are just, they reveal themselves under pressure. They get a mixed bag of different ingredients and they perform under pressure. I just love that. If I could have that superpower, it would be an incredible chef and making food under pressure like that.
I like that.
Yeah.
I married one of those. So
oh my gosh.
I'm lucky.
You are very lucky.
Okay. So at a high level, why don't you tell us what it is that you do?
Please. Pink Collars is an agency model and we provide CSRs, customer service reps for your home or trades business, service business. So if you're an electrician, a plumber, an HVAC person, and you have a company that runs teams of people out in the field helping homeowners, we can take all of those admin tasks, primarily phones, off of your plate. So my entire team is located in the United States. We're in every time zone and in Canada, and we can help take phone calls, administer emails, work on text messages, any of those tasks that you need done on a couple of software platforms. ServiceTitan is our favorite one, but we can help you with those tasks and run your office remotely as if we were sitting there right in your building.
Wow. And so that's a well-needed service because the trades folks, I mean, my background's in real estate, the trades yeah. folks are skilled. They are not skilled in the back office. They are, you know, skilled in a lot of other ways. So tell us a little bit about what inspired you to become a CEO and start this business.
Well, I was a commercial designer for many, many years, worked on an architecture firm here in the greater Washington, D.C. area. And when we had our most recent economic downturn in the 2008-2009 time period, I found myself without work. My 160 team members of my trades firm that we worked with were all laid off. And so I found myself having to start over. I was a new mother and I was going through some personal life challenges and changes at the same time. So you know how they say all things come in threes? I was in the middle of the threes in all of the aspects of my life. And I went to Colorado to kind of reboot my life's journey and realized that there were people out there on Craigslist. This was way before it was strange, that needed help, right? And so I answered an ad on Craigslist for a husband and wife tree service company. And they walked into my apartment, handed me a Dell laptop and a clamshell cell phone and said, can you please help run our business? And so when I met my now husband about 5 years after that, he looked at me and said, I don't know if you do something illegal. There's a lot of phones involved. There's a lot of screens. A lot is happening. You're talking to people all day. And he said, this could actually be a business. And I thought, well, it's just sort of a hustle to keep my kids and I afloat. But he really looked at it and saw the vision that it could be a business that could help scale other companies of that sort. And he was absolutely right. So we rebranded into Pink Collars and we started a company together. He has now since gone on to own his other business. And so I'm running the ship by myself and he's on to doing a floor coatings company. So we are in the trades as well.
Yeah. And so is there anything behind the pink collars instead of pink collars or green collars?
Yes. Well, as you know, out there in the world, there is white collar. Those are the folks that are typically in an office setting. There's blue collar, the folks that are typically in the field. And back in the 50s and 60s, when they had these things called steno pools or phone call center pools, they would call the primarily ladies in that organization pink collars because they were there to support and do the admin tasks. And so it's a play on those words. It's also sort of a joke because my husband knows that I don't really love pink. Like I don't own anything pink other than these glasses. Like I don't really wear it. I have two daughters that don't really love pink. So it's kind of a joke. It's like, you have to name your company something pink because it will be memorable. And he does give me, we have one in that regard. Cause if you look at a trade show floor of all of the services for the home's trades, they're all blue and green and black and gray. And then boom, there's this shock of pink on the floor and that's us.
I like it. I like it.
Yep.
So, I love how that happens. And a lot of our viewers and a lot of CEOs in general, they follow a similar path where they're sort of accidentalpreneurs, right?
Yeah. Yes.
We do deal with a lot of them that just come right out and like, oh, I've always wanted to do this since I was a kid. But a lot of times it's just sort of accident, right? And so we all know that running a business is really hard. And we are going to talk about some of those mistakes that, you know, everybody makes along the way. But before we do that, you know, tell me something that you did right.
Ooh, something that I did right in the past few years is that I implemented EOS. And so Gino Wickman's book, Traction, if you've heard of it, it's an orange and black book. It talks about the strategy behind running a business operationally from a very interesting way in which people have seats and accountabilities. It's not an organizational chart, it's an accountability chart. And that has completely changed the game for our business.
So how many employees do you have?
We have 27.
And are your callers also 1099s as well? Or are they employees all?
They're all employees. Everybody's an employee. Yeah.
So then do you have a leadership team or are you the main? Okay. So tell me about that.
We have a leadership team. Yeah. Okay. No, I couldn't do this wild business by myself for sure. So we have a general manager / integrator and she buffers the entire team from me and I from them. A visionary sometimes can be a little bit sharp elbowed. And I know that comes as a shock to some of your listeners. But I think that sometimes visionaries see things in a very direct, clear way, and they just want to drive towards that solution. My husband calls it move to solve. He wants to get me a t-shirt and he's like, stop moving to solve. Like we're all just talking here. And so that's a hard part of leading a team is knowing that that's a part of your personality or a part of your skill set. It's great in a lot of aspects of being a business owner, but sometimes operationally it can be challenging. And so having that integrator there is really helpful. Then we have traditional operations, a people side individual. We have sales, of course, and then we have our financial lead. So we have a leadership team of five.
Wow. I mean, that's a very healthy team for that amount of employees. So, so when you are doing your visionary thing and your CEO thing, what strategies do you use to build strong and effective teams under those team leaders, right? Because it all comes from the top down.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a big fan of documentation and a bigger fan of calendars. I believe that you see what you measure, right? You have to measure things and you have to see them before you can measure them. So I'm a real big believer in documenting what you're working on as if it were a diary sitting next to your bed. And so we do time blocking here at Pink Collars. We have various stand-ups and one-on-ones with our team leaders all the way down the accountability chart. And I think that's really informing what we do. The fact that we work remotely means we actually have to over-communicate to be effective because we can't feel that person's energy because we're not in the room with them, right? So we don't know that they may have had a bad day on the way to the office or the way to their home office. And so we want to Be sure to have that time and that clarity. And so I find that I'm a lot less Godzilla-ish in my business if I can see what everybody's doing. If I have transparency throughout the organization, it gives me a great deal of comfort that I understand that we've got traction going.
Traction, T word. And so you started out husband and wife, didn't kill yourselves too.
No, we didn't.
Still married,
We
congratulations.
are.
I work with my husband too, so.
Yay.
But you've got this, this team now. Like, was there a pivotal moment when you knew that you were ready to scale? You knew you were going to blow this thing out, and talk to us about that.
Absolutely. Well, my husband was in the sales seat for many, many years, and I was in operations. And so I looked at him at one point, and operationally, we had hired some really great people. And I was really satisfied with how operations were going. And I felt as if I could free him up a little bit. He'd always wanted to own a business. I mean, he obviously owned part of this one, but I wanted him to have something of his very own. And
Yeah.
so we went out into the marketplace and found this floor coatings company. We had a business partner over on the West Coast that said, this is really fun and it's really good. And it's kind of a one and done construction. It's not a long-term construction job. It's really quick because it happens in one day. So it
It's
really
garage
appealed.
floor coatings.
Yeah, garage floor coatings. Yeah. So it really appealed to both of us, my sense of design and, quick-handed, like move to solve kind of personality, and then his attention to detail. And so it was really a good fit, but it just kind of naturally progressed as the business grew. And it felt like it would be fun for him to kind of have his own business journey and have us take all the lessons that we had learned and apply them to his business. And it's been really fun to watch. He's actually more profitable in year three than I am. And so it does lead to a tiny bit of competition, but top line revenue, but just bottom line profitability. So he is actually crushing it right now. And I'm very proud of him.
Well, I do love a good floor coating.
Yes, good times.
And there's just something about it. It really does make me happy. So, I mean, that's great. We want to see people succeed. We want to see entrepreneurs make those dreams happen. But I'm sure you're calling on places for him, right? Are you calling for him or reaching
We
out to
are, we're answering his phones.
him?
And so we have not only an in-house team member over on Pink Collars that's answering phones for him, but we actually have embedded AI into his business too, into the call center. And so we pivot between the AI agent and the in-person agent. And we're working out some of those details on his business to make sure that we can effectively source the proper AI and give that to our clients.
Gotcha. And so Pink Collars, it became the first ServiceTitan certified call center.
It
What
did.
actually changed for your clients and for the industry as a whole?
Well, what that affords us is credibility, of course, with other vendors, which is fantastic. What I loved about it was that it was all team driven. So it wasn't something that I, as the owner, could pay for. I couldn't go, support or be a sponsor of. I couldn't do anything but teach my team the basics of that software platform. So I had to incentivize the team, get them all excited about getting this award and putting everybody's name on the board. And so we created basically a runway in which everybody could succeed. And I love the fact that ServiceTitan certification goes with that CSR, that customer service rep, no matter where they are. So it's actually something that that individual gets to take with them to their next position or
Right.
move into, another place. And for me, that means a lot. I want to always up level our team and make sure that if they're with us for a little season or a long season, that they leave better than they came. And so being certified as a call center meant I had to get 80% of my team certified in the competency of that software platform, which was no easy feat. It's actually really hard
Yeah.
to get that certification. So we were very proud that we accomplished that.
Yeah, I love that. And so most owners think customer service is answering phones. What are they missing that's costing them real money?
What they are missing is that the homeowner of today is very much an Amazon mindset. And so, if you don't grab that homeowner of today, they're going to move on to the next easiest and most friction-free customer experience that they can. a lot of people do not want to call anymore. A lot of people want to fill out a form or do a live chat or send in, you know, a Facebook lead, right? They just want to see an ad scrolling by and say, I would love to have a price for that. And so being able to capture all of those lead sources is really important. ServiceTitan does a great job of that. And the other software platforms, Housecall Pro and Jobber right behind them, are doing a really good job of making sure to filter all of those leads into one dashboard so that our human components, our AI people, whoever's working on that customer, that client, can see all of the many threads of ways that that homeowner can get to the service business. And yeah. I think it's important for the service business to understand that even though they may look like me, because a lot of us are this age, and they may not understand all the technology, they need to trust the fact that the homeowner of today really does want to schedule, book, and communicate with homeowner or with trades in a friction-free way. And yeah. So that's really important for them to understand.
Hi, I am Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. After decades of helping companies from pre-revenue startups to Fortune 50 giants, I wanted to create something that every leader could use right now. That's why we built the CEO Navigator. It is a custom GPT that helps you uncover real root causes of business challenges, build a focused 90-day plan, and even expose blind spots across your business that you don't yet see coming. This is not just artificial intelligence. It's built upon decades of proven operator experience, distilled in a tool that you can start using today. To explore further, please go to gcestrategicconsulting.com/CEO-navigator-GPT and see for yourself how it can help you lead with clarity and confidence.
It's very interesting to me because, like I said, I deal in luxury real estate and I have all my trades and I text them and I get what I want and whatever. But sure. I mean, yeah, I would love a better way, right? Because it's like, it's just harder for the customer consumer to do that. So I'm like, oh, I'll just help there for you.
Yeah. So I got a guy.
Right. But it does eat into my time. So, I mean, I actually think there's potentially spinoff business there for you too. Of how can you integrate that into the real estate world somehow?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much about building relationships that is still so critical in getting things done quickly and effectively. Right. And I think that is never going to change.
That's beautifully said, by the way, too.
What?
That's beautifully said, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, but that's true. And so we can use a lot of these tools, but at the end of the day, it's a very personal thing having someone drive up with a van with a logo on it and opening your front door and letting them into your home. Yeah. So we have to always remember that that interaction that happens right there at the front door, that's all that this is about. It's about how do we make that happen, that thing, that moment that can't be taken by technology. It has to be human. And so if we can keep the humanity in all of the ways that we communicate, just so we can connect in that way and get something done, that's really what our purpose is.
Yeah. And so looking ahead, what should home service business owners be fixing right now if they want to win on customer experience in the next 2 to 3 years?
Well, in the next 2 to 3 years, ChatGPT and all of its friends will be the search engines of choice. And so if your website isn't ready for something like that, if your phone system isn't digital and nimble to be able to move around, and if your team hasn't embraced some sort of a CRM to manage all of the data and information, you're really behind the eight ball. Yeah. I would start all the way with your team. And so I would say, find a CRM that fits your business. It doesn't have to be one of the big major ones. It can be something small, but you have to start with something to be able to track customers and understand what it is that's happening in your business. The lead to close rate in a trades business is in the single digits. And if you can get it into the double or triple digits, you're winning the game. And so finding out how to capture those people and keep them happy throughout that entire relationship is critical. And having the tools around you to make that easier on your team is really important. What I'm seeing in CSRs is as AI continues to infiltrate this business, right, and start to augment the way we do our work, it means that a typical CSR that can connect with people on the phone, bring their humanity to their job and actually solve problems that are complex will be paid in the triple digits. They will be paid six figures to do those types of jobs. And so just like the trades are now seeing their day in the sun, we're all looking around going, oh man, we need more plumbers. We need more welders. We need more. We're going to have that same exact expectation of customer service reps. And the ones that are really, really good, and I count my team as all of them, are going to rise up to the occasion and be paid a lot more to really have that human interaction.
I will tell you, I can tell an AI call from the second that it happened.
I know.
Or, you know, the accent isn't local or whatever. Yeah. It's like, they might even have a product that's worth me hearing out, but because it's that, I'm checked out. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Click. I won't even give them the opportunity.
And I'm out.
My favorite line. Sorry, my advertising budget's already allocated for this fiscal year. And 99% of them don't know what that means. And they're just like,
oops.
It's a like end of call.
End of call. Yeah. It's funny. I think all of us as consumers are going to have to shift the way we do things a little bit too. We're going to have to say, okay, maybe AI is something you're going to have to plow through. I think what we're finding out there is that as long as we are super transparent with the homeowner and say, hey, thank you for calling Mike's Plumbing. We are the AI assistant for our in-person team who's currently on a call with someone else. While we're waiting, why don't we get a few of your details? And if we can incentivize the homeowner to go, okay, well, I'm just waiting for a human here. I'm not just going to listen to dead air or bad recording music. Then we can get them to interact with the AI, even if it's just 50% of the call, it helps our team. So I think that that's the shift we're in right now is, can we just get a little bit done? We don't have to solve the whole thing, but a little bit would be great.
Right.
So
tell me, what's been the most difficult part about your CEO journey?
I think the most difficult part about it has been understanding that I own a communications company and I am a weak communicator. Now, you're looking at me on a podcast communicating, right?
And you're actually doing really well.
Thank you. And here's where I think everybody's background comes back around, especially when you start having fives and sixes in front of your numbers when you're aging. I think that your childhood starts to come back around. My parents were in the ministry, so I'm a pastor's daughter. So if you put me on stage, I know exactly what to do, right? Give me a camera, give me a light, give me a mic. I know what to do. But sometimes when it comes down to like really touching that individual, that can be hard for me.
Yeah.
And I have had to forgive myself for that. I have had to forgive my team for misunderstanding. I've had to forgive me. I mean, we've all had to have a real big powwow about this, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that was really hard for me in my early part of my career as a business owner. I thought having all the answers was making me a cool kid, and it was not. And
the best answer you could have is, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to find out and get back to you as soon as I can. People respect that and sometimes in AI, it'll just put out.
Just blurt.
And it's not right. And I'm like, dude, where did this even come from? Yeah. Like, it makes stuff up, right? But when you're dealing with humans, having that human accountability is like, I'll find right out. Get right back to you.
Yeah.
They respect that a whole lot more than being the AI bot faking it.
And I think admitting that to myself and my team has been very instrumental.
Yeah.
And then just saying, hey, the good thing about that is you can just throw a suitcase under my arm and just send me out there and I can go find people, right? I can go do the thing. But sometimes that communication style can be hard for me. And so I'm working on that all the time.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so where do you see yourself investing resources for growth over the next year?
Well, I'm very, very excited to say that one of my rocks or goals this year in EOS was to put in leadership development at every level of the business. And so I went out to the marketplace and found some really good people. I found a coach for my leadership team, and she's been able to just in what, 6 weeks we're into the year, she's already just like wowing me with what she's accomplishing. And what I am finding is that the more I invest in that level of individual, the more it will trickle down to our team. We've given them a lot of really good resources on learning their craft and their skill and how to like be certified in those types of things. But I often find that that middle manager sort of gets left behind of leadership training. You need your GM to really be out there and at all the trade shows and doing the thing. And then you have your CSRs delivering the work, but that middle strata sometimes can be forgotten. And so I'm really focusing hard on that group of individuals this year, and it's really paying off.
It's smart. It's very smart. I mean, we have the accelerator program at GCE, which is all focused about the mid-level manager, because a lot of times people get put in those roles because of their loyalty, their dedication, but they weren't quite ready for said role, you know? Yeah. And there is a coaching up that needs to happen in order for that person to be successful and for you to get what you want to get. 100%. Yeah. So
100%.
So, okay. Just a few more questions here. If you had to do it all over again, speaking to a younger self or a less experienced self, what would your advice be?
Oh, that's so good.
Go with four floatings. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, that's so good. No, I would have worn more pink. No, I would have hired a general manager or an integrator sooner.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that operationally I was not the best skilled. I was much better in sales and marketing and traveling and trade shows and graphics and website and collateral. I was much better over in the creative side rather than the day-to-day operational side. And that is not to say that one is better than the other. They're just different. Yeah. And so I would have hired somebody as an integrator, as a general manager far sooner.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
And so what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs and leaders who are just starting out their journey?
Well, it's so cool to watch. My daughter is 17, so she's heading off to college this year.
Aww.
And so we have all of these lasts, right? I made her last set of cupcakes for her 18th birthday this week. And so we're going through all these lasts, and I look at her and I think about what she's going to do in college, what she's going to learn, how she's going to make it through the world, right? And so I'm seeing the world through her eyes right now as we get ready for all of these firsts that are about to happen again. And I find that right now, entrepreneurship looks very different than it did 10, 15 years ago when I got into it. But the landscape is so much broader. Like you said just a minute ago, I bet there's a niche there for people in real estate. That conversation happens around our dinner table nightly. I bet you could solve this problem. I bet you could fix that. I bet you could do that. And so I see the amount of opportunity because of the technology to solve problems at scale.
Yeah.
And so if you're a creator, I think that's the safest place to be. If you're creative in any way, whether it's on the tools or on a paintbrush or on a computer or on a canvas, I think that's going to be the next generation of leaders that we see. They're going to be able to take those types of skills and turn them into opportunities to create revenue for themselves. And that for me is super exciting.
Yeah.
My daughter at the end of the day though said, hey, if this whole college thing doesn't work out, I mean, I know you know all these like plumbers and HVAC people, can I just go get in the trades? And I'm like, of course you can. Women in the trades are total ballers. I'm like, of course you can't go do it right now.
Yeah.
So I think that's also very exciting. There's a lot of opportunity to get your hands into something and be in the physical world and not just look at a screen all day. That's also a great thing that's happening.
Yeah, it is. And there is such a need and such a demand and such a shortage. There's also a shortage of CPAs and accountants.
Yes, I've heard.
That's interesting. These little pockets of opportunity that you mentioned could be very, very worth your while. So final question here. If somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
They should come to our website, www.pinkcollars, and I'll spell it for you because it's spelled a little differently. Pink like the color, and then collars like calling on the phone, callers.com. They can also just shoot us a message on michelle@pinkcollars.com or sales@pinkcollars.com. pretty much anything pinkcollars.com will come to me. And we have a live chat on our website that connects actually straight to my laptop. And I can actually talk to you live on the computer when you're on our website, if you have any questions. So lots of ways to connect.
Awesome. Well, this was a pleasure. Anybody listening who's in the service industry, definitely connect with Michelle, because it sounds like, you know, she's open to having conversations about ways to help you scale.
Absolutely. We love solving problems over here.
Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you. It was great.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.